Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, and every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, we receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, we give you praise for what is done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Read from verse 15 of that same chapter. Galatians 6 verse 15. It says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. 16 says, and as many as walk according to this rule, with that rule found in verse 15 of that same chapter that says, of the new creation, in which neither Jew nor Gentile avails anything, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Hallelujah. Okay, so we've been looking at God wants the world, the fourth part of this teaching. If you've been with us for a while, you know that at the start of this church, we began a series of teachings on missions and evangelism. Amen. The first part of this teaching was to explain missions from the Old Testament. We did that using the family of Abraham, the Jews. Okay, we said that in the Old Testament, God raised the Jewish people to be his missionaries on the earth. That was Israel of the Old Testament. That means through which Yahweh would fill the earth with his knowledge and his worship. Okay, so we said that Abraham and his family were raised up by Yahweh in the Old Testament for that purpose. Okay, then second part of this teaching was to examine the issue of racism and how it hinders the gospel. Racism, ethnocentrism, and how it hinders the gospel. Again, Israel is used as a case study here. Okay, we said that Israel, although she's raised by Yahweh to be Yahweh's missionaries to the nations, Israel allowed racism and ethnocentrism stop her from preaching to the Gentiles. Amen. So, because Israel has failed in that task, Jesus the Christ then comes as the true Israel of God. We saw that in the third part of this teaching. We said that Jesus is the true Israel of God that comes to take that place of the Old Testament Israel. Amen. So, Jesus comes on the earth to fulfill God's missionary plan on the earth. Okay, then it doesn't stop with Jesus. Amen. Jesus transfers that same role to his church. So this fourth part would examine how we as the church, okay, as God's New Testament Israel, carry out that role. And that is why Paul calls us the Israel of God. Amen. Galatians 6 verse 16. Okay, and then we ask the question, what does it mean to be called the Israel of God? Okay, that simply means that the church is now God's true Israel. Praise the Lord. Okay, it doesn't mean that we're literally Jews, but we are truly Jews. Amen. We are the Jews that Yahweh reckons with, the ones that he recognizes. Okay, so when God looks on the earth today, the Jew in God's eyes, the true Jew, that one that can be called the one of God, or those ones who can be called the people of God, are those who follow in Abraham's footsteps. Amen. Okay, not just those who come from Abraham physically, no. And, you know, Jesus says this in John chapter 8, verse 36 or 39 of that same chapter. John 8, 39, it says, if you are Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. You see that? Okay, and then we ask the question that what did Abraham do? Simple, Abraham believed. Praise the Lord. Okay, so you are only Abraham's son, a true Jew in God's eyes by faith. Okay, so simply being a descendant of Abraham physically, naturally, by DNA is not enough. Amen. Okay, and that's why John the Baptizer warned the Jews about that misconception. He tells them in Matthew 3 verse 9, he says to them, do not think to yourselves that we have Abraham as our father. That is, do not boast in your lineage. It is not enough. You follow that? The only Jew that God reckons with is that one whose heart is circumcised. Praise the Lord. Romans 2 verse 28, you see that there, Romans 2 28, it says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Hallelujah. Okay, so circumcision of the heart, we've said, is faith. Okay, and that is why the Church of Christ is the new Israel of God's temple we have believed. Amen. Ethnic Israel has refused to believe, and because of that, they have been rejected as God's people. Okay, so in the New Testament, God therefore has a new people. That people is the Church of Christ. Amen. Okay, each church, the New Testament church, they are the children made of all nations of the world, not just the Jews. Okay, and then we said that since we are now the new Israel of God, we receive Abraham's blessings. Praise the Lord. Okay, remember Abraham's blessing was meant for what? His children, right? The Jews. But they forfeited that. Now that comes to us. Amen. Okay, so we receive Abraham's blessing. Now what is Abraham's blessing? Abraham's blessing, we said, is not money. Amen. Okay, wealth, riches, no. Abraham's blessing, singular, is righteousness by faith. Praise the Lord. We saw that, right? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Praise the Lord. Okay, and then we said that everyone who follows in Abraham's footstep of faith receives that same blessing. But with Abraham's blessing also comes Abraham's responsibility. Amen. So righteousness is a blessing and a duty. We've said you're made righteous to erode that righteousness. So you proclaim that righteousness that you've been blessed with so that others can be blessed as well. Okay, so the Christian will do that today through his preaching, his conduct. Okay, so everything about the Christian, not just his doctrine, must reveal Christ and the gospel. So even the Christian's life, okay, must reveal Christ and the gospel in witnessing. Actions speak just as loud as words. Amen. Not louder. Okay, so both are important, your preaching and your lifestyle. Hebrews 12:14 says, without holiness no man shall see the Lord. That is, without your holy conduct, men will not see the Lord in your life. You get it? Okay, then in the last service, we began to examine the evangelistic acts of the early church. Okay, in the book of Acts, we said that the early church, as the usual of God, carried out that task of evangelism both centripetally and centrifugally. So what that means is that people would come to Jerusalem, encounter the gospel, encounter the disciples, then go back with their message. So that would be centripetal. The Ethiopian eunuch was an example here. Amen. Okay, we are told in church history that he was the first evangelist to Africa. Amen. Okay, so he came to Jerusalem, heard the gospel, and then took it back to Africa to preach. So that would be centripetal. Okay, then also the disciples went out to preach centrifugal. In Acts 8, during the persecution at Jerusalem, the disciples also went out to preach. Philip goes down to Samaria to preach Christ. Amen. Okay, we see later on that Paul as well later converts to Christianity and preached to the Gentiles. We saw Paul's three missionary journeys throughout Asia Minor, filling the nations with the gospel. Amen. Then the book of Acts also shows us that God has accepted the Gentiles. Remember we saw that, right? Okay, just as much as the Jews. So what that means is that non-Jews do not need to become Jews or convert to Judaism to be saved. Amen. Okay, then we began an examination on the message of the early church. We said, what did the early church preach? Amen. What did the early church preach, or what did they understand as the gospel? We said that their message would be consistent with the message of Jesus. Hebrews 2:3 tells us that. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which are the first began to be spoken by the Lord? Now that is Jesus. Amen. I was confirmed to us by those who heard him. That is the apostles. Amen. So the apostles got their message of salvation from Jesus. Amen. And Jesus got his message from the Old Testament. Luke 24 verse 27. You see that there. It says, I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded to them in all the scriptures. Now what was that? All the scriptures? Genesis to Malachi. Right? The things concerning himself. Hallelujah. So whatever they preached will be found in the Old Testament scriptures. We've said, right? Okay, their message would be consistent with the message of the Old Testament. Do you follow that? The message of Christianity is the message of the Old Testament. Do you follow that? The New Testament, the Old Testament, the message is the same. Do you follow that? Doesn't change. Amen. Okay, then we examine the various words used to describe their preaching. Those are the apostles and the disciples. In the book of Acts, we saw that they preach the resurrection. Remember that? Okay, not only that, they preach the Messiah. Praise the Lord. Okay, the word Messiah is an Old Testament word from the Hebrew Mashiach, remember that? Which means anointed one. Okay, so that means that Jesus is that promised king that Yahweh spoke of in the Old Testament. Amen. Not only that, they proclaim Jesus as Lord. Amen. Lord means that Jesus died, he was buried, and now he is glorified. Praise the Lord. Philippians 2:9, you see that there, to 11, it says, therefore God has highly exalted him, given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. That is salvation, okay? That confession, amen, is salvation, that Jesus is Lord. That is, he died, he was buried, amen, and now he is glorified. Amen. Okay, not only that, their preaching is also described as gospel. That's that word, euangelion, in the Greek. It simply means good news. Not only that, they preach the word or the message of God. They preach the ways of God. Remember that? Or the way of God. And not only that, they preach the kingdom of God. And we said, what exactly is the kingdom of God? We said that refers to preaching Christ from the scriptures. Remember that? We saw that in the book of Acts, it refers to preaching Jesus from the Old Testament scriptures. So from all these descriptions, we can infer that their preaching was the message of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. And not only that, it also spoke of his role as the Messiah and his kingdom, okay, where he saves men from sin. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we'll pick up from there quickly now. Are you ready? Hallelujah. Okay, so we've seen the various terms used to describe what the early church preached. Now today we want to begin a study on the sermons in Acts. Amen. The sermons in Acts. We want to look at their sermons in detail to actually find out their message. Now you find that there are 12 main sermons recorded for us in the book of Acts. Okay, 12 main sermons recorded in the book of Acts. So we'll take each of them one after the other. Amen. Now, the first sermon in the book of Acts is Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:14 to 40. Amen. So you are in for a treat. Amen. We'll look through all the sermons to see what the early Christians preached as the gospel. Amen. It will help us greatly, especially in this age. Now, the audience of this sermon were pilgrim Jews. Amen. Pilgrim Jews who came to Jerusalem from several nations of the world for Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is a feast of the Jews to celebrate New Harvest. It was also called the Festival of Weeks because it was celebrated 7 weeks and one day after the Passover. So, altogether, that is 50 days after the Passover. Now, we'll pick out the details from Peter's sermon. Now, please turn your Bible quickly. Acts 2:14. Let's see that. Acts 2 verse 14. It says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass. Now it's quoting, right? In the last day, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Okay, so Peter is saying here that what we find with the early church is consistent with the Old Testament. So the prophet Joel had prophesied that God would pour out his spirit in Joel 2:28-32. Now this is done so that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see that there? Okay, so Joel spoke ahead of this salvation. Then Peter goes on to elucidate. Okay, he explains that this salvation comes by the death, burial, resurrection, and the glorification of the Christ. Look at verse 22 of that same chapter. verse 22. It says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered," underline that, "being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified," underline that, "have crucified and put to death," underline that, "put to death." So we see death, right, of the Christ. And look at verse 24. It says, "whom God raised up," hallelujah, underline that, okay, "raised up, having loosed the pains of death," underline that, "lose the pains of death, because it was not possible," hallelujah, "that he should be held by it." 25 says, "for David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades." On the line from leave to Hades, okay? Now, Hades there is the grave. Follow that? Now, will you allow your Holy One to see corruption? On the line that, to see corruption. Or you can say decay. That's corruption there, okay? So this speaks of the burial of Jesus. You see that? So he was buried after death, but he knew before he died that he wouldn't be left dead. That's what this means, okay? And look at verse 28. It says, "you have made known to me the ways of life." Underline that, the ways of life. "You will make me full of joy in your presence." Now, this text is actually Psalm 16, 8 to 11. A psalm of David. Remember, we looked at that earlier on. Remember that? When we looked at Jesus' faith. All right. Now, look at how Peter explains it. Verse 29. It says, "men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried," underline that, "dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day," underline from his today. So this means that Psalm 16 could not have been speaking of David. David died and he was never raised. Look at verse 30. It says, "therefore, being a prophet," so David was Yahweh's prophet, praise the Lord, "one who speaks inspiredly the mind of God," praise the Lord, okay, "and knowing," underline that, "knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body," underline from off to body, okay, "according to the flesh, that is his offspring or his descendant, it would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne." Now remember that God had sworn to David that Messiah would come from his family. Remember that? Now let's see that quickly. Put your hand here. Turn to 2 Samuel 7. Okay, we're coming back here. 2 Samuel 7, verse 12. Are you there? Okay, it says, "when your days are fulfilled, and you," that is David, "rest with your fathers, I will raise up your seed after you." See that? On the line from I to you, "who will come from your body." On the line that, from come to body, okay? "And I will establish his kingdom." On the line from I to kingdom, "he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Now that promised seed is the Christ. Praise the Lord. Okay, so back to Acts 2 now. Look at verse 31. Acts 2, 31. It says, "he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ." Underline that. From concerning to Christ. "That his soul was not left in Hades," that is the grave. Okay, "nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up," hallelujah, underline that, okay, "God has raised up, of which we all are witnesses," amen. Okay, so not only does he die and is buried, he's also raised from the dead. Okay, now see this, the next verse, verse 33. It says, "therefore, being exalted," underline that, "being exalted to the right hand of God," now that speaks of his glorification, praise the Lord. Okay, "and having received from the Father the promise of the Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear." Amen. You see that? It says, "he received from the Father the promise of the Spirit, and he has poured out that which you now see and hear." Now, at his resurrection, Jesus receives many things. Praise the Lord. Okay, at his resurrection, Jesus the Christ receives many things from the Father. Now, one of those things is the Spirit. Do you follow that? So he receives the Spirit to give the Spirit. Come on. Okay, so he receives the Spirit, then he pours out the Spirit on all who believe. Amen. Now, the Old Testament has spoken about this. Look at Isaiah 44 verse 3. You can put your hand here, turn there quickly. Isaiah 44 verse 3 says, "And I'll pour water on him." Underline that. "I will pour water on him who is thirsty." Now, thirsty there is an imagery of the unsaved. You follow that? One who is dry. Okay? "And floods on the dry ground." Underline that. "Floods on the dry ground." Now, what does that mean? "I will pour out my spirit." See that? Underline that, okay? "I'll pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing." Now, what's that blessing? The spirit. Right? Okay? "On your offspring." So you see here that an imagery of water is used for the spirit. Now, Jesus the Christ also spoke about this. Look at John 14 verse 16. John 14 verse 16. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper," underline that, "from he to helper, that he might abide with you forever. He says, the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." 18 says, "I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." Amen. You see that? So Jesus the Christ speaks of another helper that will be sent to his people. Okay? That spirit is the promise of the Father. Acts 1 verse 4. It says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." Online from there to Father. "Which he said, you've heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with what? The Holy Spirit." Now that's that promise. You get it? Not many days from now. So you see that Peter's message in Acts 2 is complete, right? The death, the burial, the resurrection, and the glorification of the Christ, then the giving of the Spirit to all who believe. You see that? So this is the message of the early church. Come on. Now remember that Jesus taught his disciples, right, for 40 days after his resurrection. Look at Acts 1:3. Acts 1:3. It says, "To whom there being the disciples, he there being Jesus, also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days. Underline that, during 40 days. Okay, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Underline from speaking to God. Now, what are the things pertaining to the kingdom of God? We've explained that this refers to what? Preaching the gospel from the Old Testament scriptures, right? Acts 28 makes that clear. You may turn your Bible there quickly. Acts 28 verse 23, it says, "So when they had appointed him there being Paul, a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God." Now, what does that mean? The kingdom of God. Now, he explains, persuading them concerning Jesus. Underline that. That is the kingdom of God. Come on. Okay. Concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets. That is Genesis to Malachi. You see that? Underline that, okay? From that to prophets. From morning till evening. So, preaching the kingdom of God in the book of Acts is preaching the message of Christ from the Old Testament. You see that there? Okay? And this is what Jesus did to his disciples. He showed them himself from the Old Testament and they continued. Praise the Lord. So, their message is consistent with the message of Jesus. Now, look at how Peter concludes his sermon here. Acts 2:34. Okay, Acts 2:34. It says, "For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Now, it's quoting here Psalm 110 verse 1. Now, turn there. You may put your hand here. Turn there quickly. Psalm 110 verse 1. It says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." So, that means that this text did not refer to King David. You follow that? The Lord there is the Christ. Amen. So he is now seated at God's right hand, meaning he has all authority. It says in Matthew 28 verse 18, it says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Ephesians 1 verse 19, you may turn your Bible there. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward those who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead." Hallelujah. "And seated him at his right hand." Underline that, okay? "Seated him at his right hand in the heavenlies, far above." Underline that, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. "And he put all things under his feet." Underline that, from ear to feet. "And gave him to be head over all." Underline from two to all, okay, things, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Hallelujah. Look at Philippians 2, 9 to 11 quickly. Philippians 2, 9 to 11. It says, therefore God also has highly exalted him, underline that, highly exalted him, and given him the name, or the authority we can say, which is above every name, every authority, that at the name, the authority of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise the Lord. Okay, so Jesus now rules as God's Messiah. Jesus is therefore that Lord. Amen. Spoken of Psalm 110 verse 1. Now back to Acts 2. Amen. You may put your hand here. We're coming back, okay? As we explain the text. Now look at Acts 2 verse 36. It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, underline that, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay, both Lord and Christ, that is, he has now been glorified. And look at 37. Now, when they heard this, they were caught to the heart. Now, that speaks of conviction in the heart. Follow that? They were caught to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. That word repent, metanoeo in the Greek, metanoeo. The last O accentuated, it simply means to change your mind. You follow that? To change your mind. So he says, change your mind and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Underline that, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, underline from you to Spirit, for the promise, underline that, the promise, now the promise of the Spirit, right? Okay, is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And look at the result of this sermon. The result of the sermon was salvation, verse 40. It says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved, underline that, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, underline gladly received, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, underline that, 3,000 souls. You see that? Now this was the very first preaching that we find in the early church. You see that? The very first sermon in the early church. And do you notice that Peter doesn't use gimmicks in his sermons? Come on. Okay, Peter doesn't say things like, come to Jesus, Jesus will give you a new house. Did you see that there? No, right? It doesn't say, come to Jesus, Jesus will give you a new job. It will give you a fine wife. No, Peter simply preached Christ. Do you see that there? Okay, so this should form a pattern for Christian preaching today. Praise the Lord. So what do we find? In the very first pattern, okay, in Acts 2, we find number one, the power of the Spirit, right? Acts 2, 1 to 4, tongues, okay, and the word, verses 14 to 40. So that is very instructive. This is the locus classicus of the church's message. Okay, like we said in law, the locus classicus is that first case that forms a precedent. You follow that? Which others must follow. So this must never change. Praise the Lord. Okay, because only the genuine gospel will produce genuine converts. Praise the Lord. Okay, now second sermon in Acts. Amen. Now the second sermon we find is in Acts 3, 12 to 26. Acts 3, 12 to 26. Now the audience here is a large crowd at Solomon's porch. Now again, the pattern here is consistent. Now remember the story that Peter just healed a layman. Remember that story? At a gate called Beautiful. Acts 3, 6. Let's say that quickly. Acts 3, 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Underline all the people saw. Very important. Now look at 10. Then they knew, underline that, they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as a layman who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them, on the line from all to them, in the porch which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So you see that this miracle draws the attention, right, of the unsaved. Now, once Peter had the attention, he uses it as an avenue to preach. Look at verse 12. He says, so when Peter saw it, now saw what? That people ran to them in amazement. So he had the attention, right? On land that, okay, when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us? Remember, John was with him. So he says, us, okay, as though by our own goodness or power we have made this man walk. So immediately he draws the attention away from himself to God. Praise the Lord. Now, it was common amongst the Jews that only devoted worshippers of Yahweh could work miracles. Amen? That was believed amongst the Jews in those times, that only devoted, devout worshippers of Yahweh could work miracles. Now, you see that in John 9, verse 31. Please put your hand here. Turn there. We'll come back here. I want you to see this, okay? John 9, verse 31. You find that bias there. John 9, verse 31. It says, now we know that God does not hear sinners. Come on. Do you see that there? God does not hear sinners. Underline that, okay? But if anyone is a worshipper of God, underline from heave to God, and does his will, he hears him. Underline that, okay? He hears him. Now remember the story. The man talking here had just been healed by Jesus, right? Okay, he was blind from birth. Now he says here that God does not hear sinners. Now that is his opinion. Do you follow that? That is not scripture. Come on. Okay? God, remember I've told you, simply because it's recorded, right, doesn't mean it's revelation. Okay? God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, he hears him. So what is he saying here? He's saying that if Jesus were a sinner, he wouldn't be able to heal him. So you see that this was a popular belief amongst the Jews at that time, that only those who were morally perfect could work miracles. So what does Peter do? Peter puts a disclaimer on that notion here. Do you follow that now? That's why he says it is not by our godliness. Do you get it now? Okay, that we have made this man to walk. And look at Acts 3 again, verse 13. Now it says something quite interesting. It says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers. Now why does it mention the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Because they're familiar with them. Do you follow that? Those were their ancestors. So by saying this, Peter is saying that my message is consistent with the scriptures. Do you follow that? I'm not bringing a new message, but what has been in your scriptures all along. That's what Peter is saying here. He's saying, my message is Jewish. Come on. The God I present to you is that Yahweh of the Old Testament, the God of your fathers. Do you follow that? Okay. He says, he, that God of your fathers, glorified his servant Jesus. Underline that, okay? Glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate. To deliver them means to betray. You follow that? Okay, when he was determined to let him go. Now, when you see the word servant, what comes to your mind? Ebed Yahweh, right? Of the Old Testament. Immediately, your mind goes back to the Old Testament. Okay, that suffering servant of Yahweh who would suffer to bring men back to God. Now, let's see that. Isaiah 42 verse 1. Isaiah 42 verse 1. He says, behold my servant, underline that, my servant whom I uphold. Now that is Ebed Yahweh. Remember that? Okay, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. It will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. That servant will die and be raised for sins, and in his resurrection he will be exalted. Look at Isaiah 42 verse 13. Isaiah 42 verse 13. It says, behold my servant Ebed Yahweh, right? Okay, shall deal prudently, it shall be exalted, underline that exalted, and extolled, underline that extolled, and be very high, underline that very high, speaking of his glorification and his exaltation. Now, exactly what Peter says in Acts 3, verse 13. The God of your fathers glorified his servant Jesus. Do you get it now? Okay, so Peter is teaching from Isaiah. Come on, Isaiah 42, verse 13. It shall be what? Exalted, extolled, and be very high. Do you get it now? Peter says it this way, the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus. Come on. Okay, I'm back to Acts 3 verse 14. Acts 3:14. It says, but you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. Now this refers to Matthew 27:19-24. So put your hand here, turn there. Okay? Matthew 27:19-24. It says, while he there being Pilate, was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, I have nothing to do with that just man. You see that? That just man. Exactly the same word that Peter uses. Right? In Acts 3. Okay? For I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? They all said to him, let him be crucified. Then the governor said, why? What evil has he done? Can we say he's just? Come on. Huh? What evil has he done? Okay, but they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. 24 says, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail, underline that from he to prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of what? This just person. Now, just here is not original in the text. Follow that? So you may take it out. It's not original to this text. But you see that in verse 19, Jesus is called just, right? Or innocent. Dikaios in the Greek. That's that word. D-I-K-A-I-O-S. D-I-K-A-I-O-S. Meaning holy, righteous in character. Amen. Dikaios. Peter uses that same word for Jesus. 1 Peter 3:18. It says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just. You see that? Jesus is called the just, for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and made alive by the Spirit. John also uses that same word for Jesus. 1 John 2:1. 1 John 2:1. He says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous. Underline that, okay? Jesus the righteous. Dikaios, that's that word. You see that there? Okay, so he was innocent, righteous, just, yet they crucified him anyway. Acts 3:15, it says, and killed the prince of life. You see that? Underline that, okay? Killed the prince of life. And the word prince there means captain. Literally, okay? Captain. One who takes the lead. Archegos in the Greek. A-R-C-H-E-G-O-S. A-R-C-H-E-G-O-S. The E after H is accentuated. That same word was used for Jesus again in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2:10. Let's see that quickly. Hebrews 2:10. It says, for it was fitting for him from whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Underline that, okay? The captain of their salvation. Now here, Jesus is called the captain of salvation. That is, Jesus takes the lead. That's what that means, okay? When it comes to life and salvation, he takes the lead. That is, Jesus is the first to be raised to life, then others follow. Amen. That is what Peter says, Acts 3:15 again. It says, whom God raised from the dead. You see that now? Underline that, okay? Raised from the dead, of which we, that is the apostles, are witnesses. Do you get it now? So he's the prince of life because he takes the lead in life. Come on. So again, we find that Peter's message contains the three essential elements, the death, the burial, and resurrection / glorification of the Christ. So that is the gospel pattern in the book of Acts. Then see verse 16, Acts 3. It says, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him, underline that, through him, underline his name as well, okay, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So you see that Peter uses that miracle to point the attention to Christ, right? So miracles are not for show off, you know, I've told you that, but to point people to him. And look at verse 17. Verse 17, it says, yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, underlined from foretold to prophets, now where? In the Old Testament, okay, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Underline that, he has thus fulfilled. This fulfillment is found in the work of Christ. And look at verse 19, repent. See that word again? Metanoio. Repent. Change your mind, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Underline that, your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing, underline that, times of refreshing. The word refreshing literally means coming alive, or the resurrection in the Greek. Okay, may come from the presence of the Lord. Okay, just like Isaiah 43 verse 25 promised. It says, I, even I, am he who blot out your transgressions for my name's sake, and I'll remember your sins no more. Praise the Lord. See that? Okay, then verse 20 says, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Now, preached to you before where? In the Old Testament scriptures. Follow that? That is, all the prophets preach the hope of a coming Messiah. You follow that? That's what Peter is referring to here. In the Old Testament scriptures, you find that all the prophets of Yahweh preach the hope of a coming Messiah. 21 says, whom heaven must receive. That is, it would remain unseen. Come on, did you get that? Okay? Till the times of restoration of all things, that is the end of the age, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Do you see that now? Okay, so you see that the message doesn't stop at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. No, it also explains the resultant benefits, the resultant effects of that work. Amen. Forgiveness of sins and life from the dead. And look at verse 22. For Moses, underline that, Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things whatever he says to you. So you see, he keeps on quoting the Old Testament. Do you see that? Consistent with the Old Testament. Look at 23. And it shall be that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Now, Peter here is quoting Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 19. Okay? Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 19. So he's showing that this message is traceable back to the Old Testament. Now you see that Moses had spoken ahead of a prophet who would come after him. Amen. You find that in Deuteronomy 18:15-19. Now the Jews thought originally that that prophet was John the Baptizer. Follow that. Look at John 1:21. John 1:21. Okay, and they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? Do you see that? And learn that, okay? Are you the prophet? Now, your mind will go back to where? Deuteronomy, right? That is that prophet that Moses spoke about. He says, are you him? And he answered what? No. Alright? So they were wrong. Come on. Alright? It wasn't John. That prophet, according to Acts 3, is Jesus the Christ. Praise the Lord. Okay? So the apostles did not bring a new message. Do you see that? They did not bring a new message. Their message is consistent with Genesis to Malachi. Praise the Lord. Now look at Acts 3:24 again. Acts 3:24. It says, and it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Underline that, okay? Shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Now actually, when you read Deuteronomy 18, Deuteronomy 18 says, I'll require it of him. Let's see that. Deuteronomy 18 verse 18. Let's see that quickly. Deuteronomy 18 verse 18. It says, I will raise up for them a prophet. You may put your hand here before turning there so you can compare. Okay. Like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. You see that there? So there seems to be a sort of discrepancy, right? Between Acts 3 and then Deuteronomy 18 verse 19. But again, there is no contradiction in the Bible, right? Okay, now what is Peter doing here in Acts 3? Peter is interpreting Deuteronomy 18 verse 19. He's not quoting verbatim. He's interpreting Deuteronomy 18 verse 19. Now what is the requirement for sin under the law? Death, right? Destruction. You find that the word cut off, okay, it was always used are often used to describe this in the Old Testament. Alright? Death, destruction because of sin. You find the phrase cut off often used to describe that. You may see Exodus 12 verse 15, references for that. Exodus 12 15, Exodus 12 verse 19, Leviticus 17 verse 4, Leviticus 17 verse 9. So Peter is exegeting the text. He's simply saying that the one who refuses to believe the prophet Jesus will be destroyed in his own belief. Do you get it now? Okay, so that is not a verbatim quotation, right? But an explanation. There is no contradiction there. Amen. Now see the next verse. Acts 3 verse 24. It says, yes, and all the prophets, underline that, all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. Now do you observe what he does here? First it says Moses, right? Now it says Samuel, right? He mentioned Moses first in verse 22. It says, for Moses truly said to the fathers. Now he moves to Samuel. So it skips several books, right, in between. So there appears to be a form of ranking amongst the prophets based on their prophecies. You see that that ranking is actually found in the Old Testament as well. Look at Psalm 99 verse 6. Psalm 99 verse 6. It says Moses, underline that, Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel, underline that, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord and he answered them. You see that? So there is that order to the prophecies of the Old Testament. Now after Moses, the next clearest prophecy concerning Jesus, which we find, would be Samuel. Follow that? After the first five books of Moses, the Pentateuch, okay, the next clearest prophecy concerning Jesus, which we find, would be with Samuel. 2 Samuel 7 verse 12. To 13. I think we're there earlier on, right? 2 Samuel 7, 12 to 13. Let's see that again. It says, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed, on the line that your seed, that is Jesus the Christ. It says, after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. You see that? Now, interestingly, Peter doesn't mention Joshua to Ruth. Follow that? So he leaves Moses, right, and goes all the way to Samuel. And the reason for this is simple, because the statements concerning Christ are not clear there. Do you follow that? The statements concerning the Christ are not clear from Joshua to Ruth. Christ is found in Joshua to Ruth, but not in clear statements, but in types. Do you follow that? So what is Peter doing? Acts 3. Is tracing the clear prophecies concerning Christ. Do you follow that? So that is why it skips Joshua to Ruth. Do you follow that? Then it goes from Moses to Samuel. He's tracing the clear prophecies, not just types now, the clear prophecies concerning Jesus the Christ. So what is Peter's point? Peter's point is this: the gospel is found in the Jewish scriptures, both clearly and in symbols. Praise the Lord. Are you learning so far? Alright, now why did the prophets say all that they said? Now verse 25 tells us, Acts 3, let's see that as we begin to close gradually now. Acts 3 verse 25, it says, you are sons of the prophets and of the covenant, underline that, of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, okay, now what? And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Hallelujah. See that? Genesis 12 verse 3. You see that? So God in the Old Testament kept speaking through his prophets about the fulfillment of this covenant. Amen? The one made with Abraham, that in him, in his seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Amen. And look at verse 26. Okay? Peter is exegeting the Old Testament. Amen. Okay, look at verse 26. It says, to you first, that is the Jews, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, and look at this, sent him to bless you. Can we say in fulfillment of Genesis 12, verse 3? Okay, now remember that the gospel was first preached to the Jews. Okay, you see that in Acts 13, verse 46, Romans 1, verse 16. The gospel came to the Jews first, Acts 13, 46, Romans 1, verse 16. Now, what is the blessing of Abraham? He's about to explain it. Come on. Now look at that. Look at this. It says, in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Come on. Okay. So the blessing of Abraham involves sins. Come on. Do you see that there? Okay, when it says, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What is he referring to there? In turning men away from sin, okay, to righteousness. Praise the Lord. Okay, not money. So do you see that the sermon in Acts 3 is consistent, right, with the message of the gospel right from Genesis? So God in Christ has fulfilled his promise to bless all the families of the earth with the gift of righteousness. That blessing is now available to all who believe. Amen. Okay, now see the response to Peter's preaching. Acts 4:1. Okay, it says, now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, underline that, okay, came upon them, that is Peter and John, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, underline that, they laid hands on them, not the positive one, amen, okay, and put them in custody, underline that, okay, that is prison, until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many, underline that, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay? 5,000. So it was a bittersweet experience, right? They are thrown in prison, but more men are saved. Praise the Lord. Okay? Now, the matter doesn't end there. It doesn't end there, okay? Now, they are tried before the Jewish council. Look at verse 5, Acts 4. Acts 4:5, it says, and it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them, that is Peter and John, in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Now again, you see that Peter seizes the opportunity to point them to Jesus. Look at verse 8. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, underline that, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to an helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, online from by to Christ, okay, of Nazareth, whom you crucified, underline that, you crucified, death, come on, okay, whom God raised from the dead, underline that, raised from the dead, what's that, resurrection, come on, okay, by him, this man stands here before you whole. 11 says, this is that stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, quoting Psalm 118 verse 22. Now look at 12, nor is there salvation in any other, underline that, okay, from nor to other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we may be saved, is glorification. Praise the Lord. Do you see that? So he seizes that opportunity to preach the gospel. Now you see that Peter is speaking by the Spirit of Christ. You see that there? It says he was filled with the Spirit. Now this is his third sermon so far. Do you see he's doing a good job? Amen. Very good job. You observe how his message seems to get better and better, right? The more he preaches. Now remember what Jesus had told them, his disciples, in Luke 12:11-12. Let's see that quickly. Put your hand here, turn there. Luke 12:11-12. Luke 12:11-12. Okay. It says, now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, is that what is happening in Acts 4? Okay, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. 12 says, for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. On the line from that to say. Now, this is exactly what is going on in Acts chapter 4. Amen. So Luke is very deliberate. He says Peter is filled with the Spirit as he speaks. Come on, in fulfillment of what Jesus says here. Do you see that there? Okay, now see the result of Peter's preaching. Acts 4:13. Okay, it says, now when they saw the boldness, underline that, okay, the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and They realized that they had been with Jesus, and seeing the men who had been healed standing with them, they could not say anything against it. Hallelujah. Okay, on the line from there to it, okay? How do you want to say a miracle didn't happen when you see the man who was lame standing? Amen. How do you want to discredit that? Praise the Lord. Okay, but when they had commanded them to go outside, out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle, underline that, a notable miracle has been done through them is evident. Praise the Lord. Okay, to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Amen. Online that, okay? We cannot deny it, okay? But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. Online that, okay? From let to them, that from now on, they speak to no man in this name. Do you see that? So you find ethnic Israel persecuting what? The true Israel. Do you see that? So there is a conflict. Do you see that there? I look at 18. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, now look at this, pay very close attention. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Okay, now I tell you, when I write, you know, I write a little note here and there. I wrote here, what? Amen. All right. This same Peter, remember him? Just a few days ago, was cowering, right? In fear of the Jews. This same Peter had denied Jesus, right? Remember? Three times. Not just three times, with cursing and swearing. Say, well, lie to lie. On my mother's grave. Okay? He hid. But something had changed. Praise the Lord. Okay? Jesus, the evangelist, was now living on the inside of him. Praise the Lord. Okay? Speaking through him. Now see verse 21. It says, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. So they could not discredit neither Peter's message nor the healing. Follow that? So what could they do? They threatened them and then they let them go. Hallelujah. Okay, then Acts 5, as we're going to close. Acts 5 records the fourth sermon. Okay, the fourth sermon in the book of Acts. And again, you see here that the disciples had been drawing people's attention by miracles. You see that a lot, right? Miracles would draw the attention of the unsaved so that they can believe on the gospel. Amen. Look at Acts 5 verse 12. As we're going to close gradually now, Acts 5:12, it says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. You see that? And that, okay, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirit, and they were all healed. Hallelujah. Okay, then see what the high priest did. Verse 17 of that same chapter. Verse 17. It says, then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles. Underline that, okay? Laid their hands on the apostles. Now again, not the positive one. But someone comes and says, even the high priest too were laying hands on the apostles. Okay? And pulled them, that is, that's what laying of hands means, okay? They grabbed them. Okay, not the putting of hands to bless. And put them in the common prison. So they are put in prison. But interestingly, supernatural escape is provided. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 19. It says, but at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go, stand in the temple and speak. Very important. Underline that. Speak to the people all the words of this life. Underline that. All the words of this life. And when they heard that, they returned. They entered the temple early in the morning and thought, underline that, and thought. But the high priest, and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. Okay, so you see that they are released and they keep on preaching, right? And look at verse 22. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely. And the guard standing outside the doors. Do you see that? But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Hallelujah. Okay, look at 24. Now, when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and what? Teaching the people. Underline that, teaching the people. Then see verse 26. It says, then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence. Okay? It says, for they feared the people lest they should stone them. You see that there again? Okay, so the people were also on their side. Praise the Lord. Okay? Now look at 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Underline that, okay? Your doctrine, that is your teaching, and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Underline that, okay? We ought to obey God rather than men. Then immediately Peter begins to preach again. Say, ah, this Peter, shah. Look at verse 30. Okay, it says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. You see that again? He seizes the opportunity. You can't keep me short. Praise the Lord. Okay, it says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. That is what? The resurrection. You see that again? Whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. What's that? Death. Come on, say it again. Him God has exalted, underline that, exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior. What's that? Glorification. Okay, to give repentance, underline that, repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Underline that, forgiveness of sins. What about the resultant effects? Amen. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given, on land that God has given to those who obey him. Hallelujah. So again, you see here that Peter's preaching contains the essential elements of the gospel. You see that again? The death, the burial, the resurrection / glorification, and the effects for men. Now, I've told you, it's not good news until it gets to men. Follow that? Okay. Now, see the result of his preaching. Verse 33. It says, when they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. So these guys have refused to change right from the Old Testament. Okay, then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, okay, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to pull the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Judas raised up, claiming to be someone. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. 37. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. Now look at 38. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. Now look at this. For if this plan or work is of men, underline that, is of men, it will come to nothing. Come on. See that? Underline that, okay, come to nothing. But if it is of God, underline that, of God, you cannot overthrow it. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay? Cannot overthrow it, lest you be found to fight against God. Underline that, okay? Fight against God. Now, it's been 2022 years. Amen. Since then, it still hasn't come to nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, 22 years later on, it still hasn't come to nothing. Praise the Lord. Okay, look at 40. And they agreed with him, and when they called for the apostles and bidding them, underline that, okay, bidding them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, and look at this, rejoicing. Hallelujah. On that, okay, rejoicing that they were counted worthy. On that, okay, counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching. Come on. Okay? And preaching Jesus as the Christ. Hallelujah. See that there? On that, okay, from day to Christ. So you see that this shows you that you won't always have pleasant experiences, right? When preaching the gospel. Have you ever preached before and you were beaten? Have you ever preached before and they poured dirty water on you? Amen. It's happened to me before. Praise the Lord. So you see here that the apostles were beaten, right? Okay, so you won't always have pleasant experiences while preaching the gospel. But you must take heart. Amen. Okay, don't give up. Keep at it. Persevere. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see the church of Christ as the true jewel of God, carrying out the will of God in all of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we continue from Stephen's sermon in Acts 7 in the next service. Did you learn? I lift your hands, give him praise. Thank him. Continue from there. Oh, thank you, Lord. What a God.